Now stay tuned for To Your Health, where food is on the table and center stage. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating over 20 years of sustainable fine dining on the downtown mall. And by Rebecca's Natural Foods in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. Now here is your host, MC Blair.
Hey, good morning, good morning.
Oh my goodness. All right, well, that's a little loud there.
Well, let's see what you do. Give me a mic check there, Yvonne, if you would.
Hello, hello.
All right, that's perfect. Perfect. Can you hear everything? Check 1, 2.
Yes.
All right, that's much better. All right. Hey, welcome to Your Health. This is MC Blair, and I am speaking to Yvonne
Cunningham.
Cunningham, Yvonne Cunningham. And you're saying, well, why don't you know the names of your guests, Mike? Well, the reason is because Yvonne Cunningham has Nona's sauce, Italian sauce, and that's how I knew her, as Nona. So there you go. That's a good, and she said, I could call her Nona anytime, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good. Nona's Italian Cucina tomato sauce, actually.
Yes.
And it's at the City Market as well as other places, which we'll talk about where other places the sauce can be purchased. And so, well, let's get started. I like to start with some history and tell us about how you even got into this this endeavor of making a sauce commercially.
Okay, my husband is retired Navy. Mm-hmm. We lived in Naples, Italy from 90 to 94, and then we lived there again on his Twilight tour, which was 2002 to 2005. So we were living there, stationed there for 7 years. The first time we were stationed there, Nona was actually our next-door neighbor. She taught me this amazing sauce along with the several other recipes. She would serve me coffee. As my children were toddling around in the yard, and I didn't speak any Italian. She didn't speak any English. But we were able to communicate through the love of food. And she taught me how to shop at the market, how to shop seasonally. So I would bring those treasures home, and I didn't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
And she would just lay everything out, and she would just teach me. It was mind-boggling.
I guess so. You know, that's nuts. I mean, I was stationed in Naples as well. Bella Napoli,
we used to call it. Yes.
Yeah. And I didn't live on the economy. That's off base, folks.
Right.
And so, but you did.
Yes. Both times.
That's amazing. And, of course, that's where you'll learn that
learned everything. That. Learned to speak it. Just learn the culture.
Yeah.
The first time my girls were not a year and 3 years old. So they didn't know any Italian, obviously.
Right.
They went to school, to preschool. And my daughters would learn nursery rhymes in Italian and come home and singing them to Nona in the yard. And she would just twinkle. It was just moving to see her. To see my children interact with her in that way.
Sure. No, absolutely. And you know, you learn so much. I was lucky to have a girlfriend who was Italian from Venice.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew people there. She actually had family there in Naples. And so I got a chance to have some family dinners. And I want to get into that because, folks, you know, everyone's heard you are what you eat.
Yes.
And then a friend of mine, Carter Wallace, was the farm manager of a place called Farfields in Afton, very well versed on food and the culture of food and the culture of agriculture.
Right.
And so he added two things to that. He added, it's not what you eat, but how you eat. And it's not really how you eat, but why you eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get into that because I learned what that really meant when I was in Italy about the how to eat. So tell us how they eat.
Seasonally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seasonally, and they shop every single day.
Every day.
Where I was used to, you know, going to the commissary and stocking up for two,
sure,
maybe 3 weeks, have everything in my pantry. Everything was loaded with preservatives and things to keep it shelf stable and GMOs, and just I could go on and on and on. but not in Naples.
No.
Not when I learned what I learned.
Absolutely.
So she just took me, I was like a little bird under her wing, and she just took to me like a duck to water. It was just beautiful. So, like I said, I learned how to shop at the markets seasonally, fresh, and like I said, come home with all these treasures and learn to what to do with them. But the even bigger portion of that was that you would think it was just Nona and I in the kitchen. No, my husband was working, and my children were there also, just toddling around, and Nona would give them little jobs.
Of course.
Grate the cheese, or crack the eggs, or, you know, open this bag of pasta. Just little things to do. We were all together in one room.
That's it. It's family.
Family.
Yeah. And the meal. The meal in the middle of the day.
Yes, at 1 o'clock.
Is the whole family.
Is the main meal.
It's the main meal.
Right, not at 9 o'clock.
And it's like, takes about 30 minutes, right?
No, it's about 4 or 5 hours.
Oh, 4 or 5 hours. That's right. I was being facetious there.
Yes.
You know, the way we eat here, it's like kids grab some, throw some in the microwave. They're eating something in front of the TV. And then, you know, dad comes in from work and he grabs something here, whatever. And then, you know, runs the kids to different practices and different events and functions from school. And you really don't get a chance to be family.
No.
But in Italy and Spain and the Latin countries, Latin by, I mean, the language.
Right.
Know, and then also I'm assuming in Argentina and Brazil, which were settled by the Spaniards. And so that tradition is carried over into that. Mm-hmm. But it's the whole family, right?
It is. It's the entire family, from great-great-great-grandparents all the way down to the last child that was born. Everybody's involved.
And when I would do it, and let me know if this happened with you in your experience, but that was how you ate, which was long time.
Slow and take your time,
exactly.
Not shoving it down
right.
As fast as you possibly could.
And
you
all the different
got
courses.
To savor it and enjoy it. Enjoy the flavors. Enjoy the work that was put into it, because there was a lot of work that was put into every dish that was made, whether it was pasta or pizza, brujol or the vegetables or the salads or during the holidays, the desserts and the meats that are prepared and seafood. I could go on and on.
Yeah. Well, and then of course the kids who helped prepare it,
mm-hmm.
Now they get a chance to shine.
That's right. That's
whereas,
right.
Whereas, you know, when I grew up, it's, you know, children should be seen and not heard.
Right. No, the children are all involved.
Oh, yeah.
They're chattering and doing, right there by our sides.
Yeah, so it's not the kids' table over here.
No.
It's all one table.
All
right?
One table.
Yeah.
All one
it's
table.
It's amazing. And so
and actually, grandmothers are running around chasing the grandchildren so they make sure they're eating.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's when the first time I saw that, I was like, really?
Manja.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Manja. Exactly. And then that's, and so it's the whole family. And then stories are told.
Oh.
You know, why you eat this particular food at this particular time and all that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's where traditions are born. The tradition for my family, actually, because my girls, when we went to Italy the first time, were so young. My husband was always deployed. We hadn't really established a sit-down time
mm-hmm.
for all of us to sit down for a meal, whether it was breakfast, lunch, dinner, or just to sit down together, as even with a snack. Italy taught us that. Being just in the community with Nona and her family and learning that you make time, whether there's time or not, you make that time, even if it's just a half hour. But you all sit down together and you all partake at the same time.
Yeah.
And you talk about your days, good or bad, and then the children, that's their tradition that they're raised with, and they take that and go on with their lives.
Right, and the shops are shut down.
Yes, all shops close at 1 o'clock.
Right.
Yep.
But then reopen about
at 5.
Six, 5, exactly.
5, yep.
Or 6. And then they stay open until 11.
9.
Or 9.
9,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, in the summer, they do stay open until 10 or 11.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the entire month of August, they close completely.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Huh. Hey, you're listening to Your Health, WPVC, Progressive Voice of Charlottesville. That's 94.7 on your dial. And I'm MC Blair, and I'm talking to, I keep wanting to say Nona.
You can. That's okay.
I'm talking to Nona of Nona's Italian Cucina Sauce. And it's just amazing, folks. So let's get into the sauce.
Okay.
Right? Let's... I wanted one more thing, and that is, so you had the recipes all written down and all that, right?
No.
Okay. So how did that work?
It's by taste.
Mm-hmm.
Nona taught me to make this gravy. That's traditionally
right, exactly.
what it's
what
called
they call
this gravy.
Gravy. Yeah.
But when I decided to go into business here in Central Virginia, I knew I couldn't put gravy on the label.
Right.
Being here in the South, gravy, most people think grits, biscuits,
right.
sausage.
Yeah. A brown or
correct.
even white.
White, right.
Yeah.
Either. My sauce is very red and very thick.
Oh, yeah, it is too,
it
folks.
It is gravy, but not the gravy that most people think of. It's like a ragu. Very,
yeah.
very thick, very concentrated, delicious.
It is absolutely
fresh.
Delicious, too. So the recipes were all by taste. You knew you start with tomatoes or whatever the base ingredient is and just build it from there. Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's how I make my sauce. I always have, but I just did it.
You mm-hmm.
know, I
there's
just,
no recipes.
Exactly. So let's get into the sauce. The tomatoes.
Yes.
Talk about the tomatoes.
I import my tomatoes, and a lot of people are not, especially since part of what I'm doing is giving back to the community. That's what makes me tick. That's mm-hmm. what makes me happy. And I know that there's a huge tomato population, especially in Hanover, Virginia. However, my tomatoes that I import from Italy are grown at the foot of Mount Vesuvius. So they're in all that volcanic soil
right.
with all the minerals. And I'm not lying to you. Those tomatoes are like candy. They are so sweet.
They are.
You literally just take them right out of the fields and just eat them.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the tomatoes that are in my sauce. That's what Nona taught me. I won't use anything else.
Right. No. And
yeah.
and it's awfully good. So that, but the other ingredients are local, right?
Yes, all mm-hmm. of them are.
Mm-hmm. That's very important.
Very
and
important
I know you have a really good relationship with a lot of the other vendors.
I
at
do.
The market.
That's how. Well, I launched last. I'm getting ready to have my first year anniversary mm-hmm. next weekend, mm-hmm. which is really exciting. I'm in 9 stores now and sell out at the Charlottesville City Market, which is. Due to Lucy, who manages the Charlottesville City Market, and then the connections, like you just stated, that I've built with the other vendors.
Right.
We're a family out there.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
really are. And we look after each other. We think of each other. It really is a family, and I feel that when I'm out there. That's why it's it just kind of goes with my sauce.
Yeah.
Because it's about family.
And education.
Yes.
And so then once you start your family, or you're with the family of the city market, then you meet husbands, wives, kids, all that sort of thing. And I know right. I had we had Mitzi Hammer on here
mm-hmm.
From Hammered In, and they have a wonderful several pepper sauces that's really great. And she started, well, her kids started educating school children, right?
Right,
yeah.
right. At the school, is it the schoolyard garden?
Well, it's similar to that, but it's their own. It was their own endeavor, and they work, you know, in conjunction with city schoolyards
okay.
gardens as well, who we've had on the show, and that's what it's all about is education. Pass it on. Nona
yes.
passed it on to you. You pass it on to others.
Yes,
and so
and hope know, to, and I hope to be able to pass it on. Someday.
Yeah, exactly. And that's and again, that's what it's all about, of course, is education. So this has been great. So what I noticed the teach by showing and listen to the food. That was a cool quote off your website. Just listen to the food.
Because mm-hmm. Nona, that's how she taught me. She said the food will tell you what to do with it.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
yeah.
It is so true.
It really is.
So what's the shelf life?
2 years.
2 years unopened.
Unopened, correct.
Okay, so you can stock up.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and buy mm-hmm. for the winter when the market is closed.
Yes,
and all
I
that
have a lot of people that do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And where can this be found? What shops, stores?
The Spice Diva Emporium, mm-hmm. Market Street Wine, Tillman's on the Mall, Blue Ridge Bottle Shop out in Crozet. Greenwood Gourmet Grocery
okay.
out in Afton. There's Nourish Louisa in Louisa, Market at 25th in Richmond, mm-hmm. and Ashland Meat Company and Cross Brothers in Ashland.
Great. That's great. That's some decent distribution.
It sure the heck is
local.
For my first year. Yeah. My mind actually is quite blown.
Mm-hmm.
How everything has transpired. It's happened very organically. I've had some health issues that have kind of slowed me down. This process has been about 4.5 years in the making. But when I finally was able to launch last October, both guns were loaded
blazing
and ready to go.
Baby.
Yeah, I was ready to go.
That is excellent. Well, it's really something, folks, because I discovered your sauce in the City Market, and I just walked up and just started talking, and you gave me a taste, and I said, I'll take it.
taste is all it takes.
It's all it takes, and I've bought a couple three bottles since then. And matter of fact, I have one in the refrigerator right now. It's about 3 days old since opening, and I know that that's still good. I think about 4 to 7 days after it's opened in the refrigerator.
Seven to ten. Because there's no meat in it.
Right.
My sauce is vegan. It's gluten-free, and there's no sugar added.
That's
the beauty of my sauce, that I do get my tomatoes from Italy because they are so sweet.
Yeah.
Most people swear that there's sugar, that I add sugar, because a lot of Italians do add sugar to their sauce to kind of cut the acidity. There's not a drop of sugar.
Don't need it.
No. That's why I use the tomatoes that I use.
I understand. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's something else. I'm glad to see. I already knew that because I looked at the label. I do read labels, and I noticed
a lot
that
of people
there was
do
no
nowadays.
Sugar added.
There's so many allergies out there.
Oh, it's so important.
It really
so
is
so important to read labels and just know
where your food
what
comes
you're
from.
Exactly what your food know your food, know your farmer.
Absolutely,
and all that. Which of course we have preached that from the beginning. It's one of the reasons why we have this show, To Your Health. And, you know, all things healthy. That's what we try to do, and get folks like you in here mm-hmm. that get it. You know, they just get it.
Right.
And it's about the low. And there's food deserts. You know, even right here.
That's what's really exciting about one of the stores that my sauce is in. The store, if I could talk a little bit about that.
Yes.
So I graduated from a class, Community Investment Collaborative, the mm-hmm. CIC. That's how really I got everything rolling for me. I had this idea, had this dream, but I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to open a small business. I didn't mm-hmm. know how to do all the financials and the marketing and the graphic designing and designing a website and everything that you need to know to build a business. So I applied for this course. And I was actually accepted on a full scholarship. And that's where I learned everything, how to open a business.
That's okay. Where you learned to open a business. Didn't
right.
know how to open a business. You know, that's, yeah, that, I understand. She lost her train of thought there. And that does happen from time to time. So you must be happy with what so far, how you've come.
Oh, absolutely. I already feel like I'm successful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
My dream is not to be in every store across the country.
No.
I'm successful right here in Central Virginia, right here in Charlottesville.
Sure.
Then that's what makes me happy.
Well, that's important as well. And so, just to give you an idea of our concept here is to benefit our listeners by providing them with locally sourced answers to the many questions related to staying healthy. That's what we do.
Yes.
And so these are locally sourced answers. Buy her sauce. By the way, I had tried, and I hope I don't step on any toes. I told you about this, but I went around and I was looking for some gluten-free options for pasta, and I tried some pea protein pasta, and I tried some lentil pasta and some almond flour pasta, and I decided that if I was going to have Nona's sauce, I had to have some durum wheat pasta. So I found some that was organically grown, mm-hmm. and it's the best, absolutely the best. So I love your sauce. What can I say?
Thank you.
And it can be frozen, right?
Yes.
So after you open it, mm-hmm. like if you're just say, one or two people in the household, take the sauce, put it in different open it, pour it into different containers, freezer containers, put those in the freezer, and then you've got single use.
Yep, you sure can.
Yeah, exactly. Single-use
and the
containers.
Sauce is good for bases of other things you might want to make.
Oh, I can see that, absolutely.
Beef stew, chili,
yeah.
Goulash. I have friends that eat it just right out of the jar with chips.
Oh,
like
sure.
Like chips and salsa.
Yeah.
It's that fresh.
Well, it's definitely a good salsa sauce as well. You know, just like you said, pour it and just pour it out and there you go. You got it.
Right.
That's absolutely... And gluten-free, you mentioned that, vegan as well, so there's no concerns there.
Right.
You know, did you cook some burger, and has it got burger grease in it?
Like, nope.
Well, so many sauces do.
Right.
You know,
right. No,
and,
the fat that I use
base.
Is the olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fat that I use.
That's
what I was
one.
The best. Yeah, that's what Nona taught me.
Yeah, yeah.
And the original recipe that she taught me actually was loaded with meat. Had Italian sausage and lean pork.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of our very favorite that my family really enjoys is a brujol, which is with beef.
Right.
But in order for me to be able to bottle it, I had to pull the meat out of it.
That's true.
So that was part of the reason why it took me so long, why that 4.5 years to get to where I am today, is I had to pull the meat out and I had to really tweak the recipe in order for it to be really, really delicious,
well,
like
sure.
It was with the meat.
Exactly, because the meat does add quite
a bit. Oh, my
goodness,
so much flavor. It really does. And the fattier, the porkier that it is, the more flavorful it is. But I did it. I was able to, you know, just with a lot of testing and experimenting and tears and bad sauce, came up with what's in the bottle
today.
No,
that's awesome. And by the way, she won't come and hunt you down if you put some meat in it.
No, definitely not.
So, well, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. And it's to talk to people that get it, that understand, you know, the local and or organic. If you can't go local, if it's off season or whatever, of course, I think you just don't eat it if it's off season.
Right, exactly.
But I do, you know, I do as well, just like all of us. You know, we'll go grab a can of pineapples or something. I don't know, whatever. I don't know where I'm going with this. But, you know, local gardens as well, it's just to have a garden is just amazing, because then you can grow, you know, your own produce.
Exactly.
Which is great.
Just a little tidbit that the sauce that I make that I serve at the market, that I serve as samples, I actually take that produce from my garden. So I grow basil and Italian flatleaf parsley and peppers and a few other things in my patio. So the sauce that I served all summer to folks at the market was my basil, was my Italian flatleaf parsley that I grew. So yeah, everything comes full circle.
Yeah, it really does.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
This has been great.
It's been wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. So we'll come back in just a few and we'll go from there. And we're back, MC Blair here, and I have got a real treat. I've got a couple of interviews that I had, one with Bob Messler, and then one with Richard Collins, my friend Richard Collins. So we'll play Bob Messler's Home Gardens, and that will be first, and then Richard Collins's Fall Garden, which I just got a huge head of broccoli from. Thank you, Richard. By the way, he gave it to me Wednesday night, and I went straight home and cooked it up and ate it right then, because I wanted it as fresh as possible. So let's listen to Mr. Messler, followed by Mr. Collins.
Hey, this is MC Blair, and I am on Afton Mountain Road talking with Bob Messler. How are you, Bob?
I'm doing well. Rain's just ended. Nice and cool out here.
Absolutely.
So it's refreshing. Better than it's been in a long time.
Oh, it's a perfect day. Folks, I was going to come out last Wednesday, and it was about 92 and about 80% humidity. So, but this is the right day to be here. And this gardens, they're beautiful, Bob. I see you've terraced them.
Yeah, originally it was just a hillside. We moved here 3 years ago, and I rototilled the whole hillside, put in some narrow cement block, and leveled three different levels. This fall, I hope to surface the cement with a faux fieldstone facing that I can apply with cement contact, cement, or mm-hmm. some sort of concrete glue, and it'll look like fieldstone. It's pretty nice.
Oh, good, good.
Nice product.
So what do you got here? All sorts of good stuff growing.
Yeah, this is all flowers.
Okay.
Yeah, we got coleus, celosia, irises. This creeping Jenny, it's called, is the yellow vegetation, mm-hmm, foliage mm-hmm. that's crawling across the blocks and moving down to the bottom.
Yeah, this is beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. So what are these red spikes?
That's celosia.
Uh-huh.
And that, surprisingly, the weaker ones that are smaller are annuals that we planted mm-hmm. a couple months ago. And the tall, vibrant, bushy, out of control celosia is all self-seeded, all volunteer.
Oh, okay.
Last year. Huh. So I don't know what variety we had last year, but they loved it here.
I would say the pollinators probably have a ball here.
Yeah. Got hummingbird feeder. We got a couple bird feeders and butterflies galore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the bigger stuff is canna lilies.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some vines growing up on the pergola. That's moonflower. The taller ones are moonflower. They open up at night with a large white flower.
Oh.
Similar to a morning glory, very fragrant.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's
and
nice.
The middle one is Mexican cathedral bells, mm-hmm. or Mexican bells, I think it's called, slower growing. And they open pale bell-shaped flowers later in the fall.
Well, I was talking to my friend Richard Collins a couple weeks ago in his home garden, and he said one of the benefits of the garden is it's stress-free when he comes out here.
Yeah, as you can see, we have chairs and table outside mm-hmm. furniture lined up, and my favorite is a zero-gravity chair. And I can sit and watch the hummingbirds come and go and just relax. It's shaded during the later part of the day, so it's a pretty comfortable spot. We don't have any mosquitoes because I've gotten a couple electronic mosquito traps that run off 110 that put out oxygen and carbon dioxide, and they have ultraviolet light and a fan, so it doesn't zap them, it just pulls them in, and they get trapped in there. It's very effective.
And I noticed a ton of solar panels on your house. Yeah. I think you're using mainly solar?
Yeah. We've been banking kilowatts for the last 3 months at least.
Banking, that goes back to...
Yeah, so we have it credit toward the... our winter use.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, and I've switched almost everything over to 60-volt yard tools, 60-volt lawnmower, mm-hmm. chainsaw, weed whacker, and hedge trimmer. All work off the same batteries, so I can constantly run a couple charging at the same time as I'm running the tools, and they work great. And now, you know, I recharge them with free power from the sun.
Tell you what, that's the only way to go. That's the only way to go. Well, I see some vegetables over there.
Yeah.
That's I love that. Eating, growing your own food is wonderful.
So when we moved here, this patio area with the crushed stone was tilted toward our family room. And when we 3 years ago, when mm-hmm. we looked at the house originally, we could see some water damage had inside corners in the family room. So prior to moving in, we made the drainage problem was resolved.
Oh, okay, yeah. What do you call that? Condition of closure.
Yeah. So they ran all sorts of drainage underneath there. But when they did that to slope away from the house, they pulled all the topsoil from this whole area. And they deposited up there, up where the vegetable garden is now. So since they had put it there, I said, that's
where the vegetable garden's going. Yeah.
And having dogs with a doggy door out here and just clay left whenever it would rain, they'd track the mud in, turn it all into gravel.
Huh.
And that eliminated that problem.
Well, so you got a lot of clover here. I know the bees love that.
Yeah. And my daughter, being in the honey business, urges us to mow as little as possible.
Little as possible.
But since they had moved the topsoil up to this area and it's in full sun, mm-hmm. more or less, I decided this would be the place where I would put in my garden system.
I see the pumpkins and...
Yeah, they were volunteer. I have a lot of... I'll get volunteers in my compost pile regularly, and a few of them I'll just say, okay, let's see what you are. So that was a volunteer. I didn't no idea what it was.
What it was?
Pumpkins.
That's
oh,
great.
It's too early for pumpkins. Hopefully I can store them in the basement and cool, dark.
Yeah, yeah.
Then first, this is the first year I've done delicata squash,
mm-hmm.
And it's going everywhere. We're getting a ton of it. So
I see some peppers over there.
Yeah, peppers, tomatoes, and some other stuff that's volunteers as well. These datura that are popped up, they come from seeds from last year.
Mm.
But when I decided to do this system, I decided to go with a no-till method.
It's carbon sequestration.
Right. We had cut down a couple large trees, we split the hardwood and stacked it, but took all the branches and made a giant burn pile here. So I burned the big burn pile, and I spread the ashes over the topsoil area. Then I tilled it. After that, a neighbor gave me about 400 dog food bags that were just raw paper. They hadn't been... they had no dye on them, no chemicals, it was just pure thick dog food bags. Mm-hmm. So I put down a double layer of that. Oh, first though, I put in irrigation. Got a 300-gallon water tank running off the shed roof.
Oh, right.
Gutter fills it, and then a hose, gravity-fed hose, to the garden area. Used a half-inch PVC water pipe and laid out a grid, and then did small holes on either side of the
pipe. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where I would plant.
Mm-hmm.
And after getting the irrigation down, then spread the paper bags. Next, on top of that, went horse manure, and then some compost from our compost piles spread out. And then on top of that, I went out and got a large bale of hay, the round ones you see in the field.
Yes.
They're like carpets. Brought this over with the truck and just unrolled it, cut it, turned it around, unrolled it again, so that the whole garden was covered with like a 3-inch thick mat of the hay.
Oh man, I tell you, that what a wonderful garden he has over there in Afton. And that's Bob Messler with his garden. And now my friend Richard Collins and his fall garden. We'll actually go into the next segment as well. We'll take a little break before that, but for now we'll go right into the fall garden with my friend Richard Collins.
MC Blair here, and I am with Richard Collins, as we like to call him, Alphonse DuPont. And we're here in his fall garden. We did his spring garden, and now it's a fall garden. And how's it going, Richard?
Well, good. Personally, the garden's pretty much thriving. My favorite garden,
yeah,
is the fall garden. It's just easier. There's no, basically very few, if any, bugs. It doesn't take as much watering. I like the particular kinds of vegetables that grow in the fall garden.
Well, I see you got some spinach and
got some spinach coming up. That I got a bed here. I garden in these round, different types of containers.
Yeah.
But I've got covers I'm making for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be able to have spinach basically all winter long.
Oh, that's good.
I'll have a cover for spinach. I'll have another container with like a mesclun mix of lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
And among those two I did last year, I had salad all winter long, even in the snow. I'd come out and knock the snow off of the covers and
I'll be darned.
Raise it up. And then in the fall, in the spring, You know, they sort of, you know, they sort of worn down kind of, but in, you take those covers off in the springtime and they just explode with new growth.
It is, that is great.
Yeah.
So I know you got your foot-long beans here.
That's yard-long.
Yard-long.
Yeah. Some of them weren't but about 33, 34 inches. I was thinking about just sending them back.
And, saying, I'm sorry, y'all about 3 inches short.
Some people call them asparagus beans, but they're, I have never had a more prolific plant of any type. I can't keep up with them. I eat... I eat all these beans. They're just absolutely delicious. I'll pick you one here.
All right. Oh my.
Just munch on that thing.
All right. Mmm. Well, that's delicious. Right off the vine.
Right off the vine. In this time of the year, they're very tender. They're a little tougher.
Yeah.
When in the heat. And my daughter tells me she spent a lot of time in Thailand. That they sometimes steam them and cook them, but they mostly just like to eat them raw.
Yeah.
And I can see why. They put them in salads and just eat them. Just put them in, you know, dip some kind of sauce, dip them in some kind of sauce and eat them. So it's been, I'll send you home with some of these.
All right. I'll take that.
Yeah. And all the ones you see that have turned brown there, I'm just saving those for seed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, that's a good idea. You know, I got those tomatoes, too. I know you sent me home with some small little grape tomatoes. Those things were absolutely delicious, like little balls of sugar. They were so sweet.
I got more of those for you, too.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what. They were absolutely delicious. Got some green peppers here.
Yeah, this is the last of the peppers. They aren't growing like they do. They're heat-loving. So it's cooling down. But I've just been eating peppers. They aren't big peppers, but there are lots of them. Real sweet. I'm not sure about the plants. I'm not sure what the species and all that sort of stuff is.
But, well, I notice, and I know what happened, but I got to say it. I notice all the tops of your Swiss chard is gone.
2 days ago, you couldn't even see the ground, the bottom of the, you couldn't see the soil because it was just lush. And they were about a foot and a half tall. I got this rainbow chard. It's got all the different gold and red.
Yeah.
Now, it's just... the tallest one is maybe 4-5 inches. The deer just came in and decimated
them. That does happen.
Yeah. And so, this, I don't sit around all the time fantasizing about torturing deer. not all the time. I take breaks from it time to time. But
that's funny.
No, I'm... It's my fault. This is the first time I've ever had any kind of deer damage, and I think, who knows why? It's dry, soil almost dry conditions, so they're probably roaming a little bit further.
Sure.
And they found this, and I'm sure they had a party. It's like, oh, this is our favorite.
That's it, man.
And they just, of course, you'll see on the other part of the garden down here. The beets, the beet tops, they absolutely, I think they like them more than the Swiss chard.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got a different kind of torture that I envision the ones that eat my beets.
Oh, my goodness.
Some more into some beans. Those were pole beans.
Oh, yeah. And then the tomatoes right there. Some of those looking
good.
They sort
of grow up together.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't know it, but... See that tomato right there?
Yeah.
Got a bite taken out of it? Guess who did that?
Rabbit.
Deer. I didn't know deer ate tomatoes until I looked it up.
Yeah.
And they will, because a rabbit couldn't eat it, because this tomato was
It's too high, yeah.
Yeah, but you can see one or two big bites taken out of it.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
We are going to take a little break here, but we will be back with Richard Collins and his fall garden. And we are back. And so I want to go back into the fall garden with my friend, Richard Collins.
No, this is Asian greens.
Asian greens.
So
yeah, they are delicious.
That's what
too.
We made the frittata out of.
Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, I forgot to tell you, folks, he cooked me a frittata. Oh, my goodness gracious. What I say before, put it on the top of your head, your tongue is slap your face to death getting to it.
Yeah. I'm going to see that happen.
Yeah, me too. Oh man, look at that okra. Good Lord.
That was very prolific. But I'm letting that go and for seeds.
Oh, okay.
So I'm gonna have a lot of. I've been trying to do heritage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that what you call it, heritage?
Well, what was here? Yeah.
Yeah. It's from season to season. You save the seeds.
Right. Right. Exactly.
That's some other term I can't even remember. But I'm trying to do most of that. Although I do have some hybrid. Broccoli plants over there.
I was going to say that broccoli's looking good.
Yeah, you can see the bugs.
They had gotten to the leaves.
I could have sprayed with, this organic stuff, but I decided no. I just came out here every morning and picked the worms off, and you can see they got a share of it. But
sure,
they're gone now. So
yeah,
the season's passed for that.
Well, you can use those worms for fishing.
Oh well,
if you wanted to.
All I need is a pole and a lake.
Yeah, and a lake. That's all you need is just a pole and a lake. I just ate the worms.
But
put them in a jug of
that's
tequila.
That's a new thing. We're gonna probably sustain the earth with eating insects one of these days because they're
that's huge in other countries.
Mm-hmm. And some in this country too.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Crickets.
Yeah.
All kinds of different stuff.
I know.
Mealworms.
Yeah.
You can buy big bags of mealworms for your chickens.
Right now,
old bags. I guess I won't.
They love that protein, that's for sure.
It makes a pretty good salad if you put some cinnamon and sugar on it.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, excuse me, cereal.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, you just put some cereal in it. It's pretty good.
Crunchy. I did not think.
Crunchy. Mm. If you can eat them quick, they're crunchy.
Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Think I'm going to eat some worms. I remember that as a kid.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is salad.
Oh right, yeah.
You pick two of them and five of them jump back up by the next day. I eat out of this every day, and it doesn't even look like it. I'm gonna send you home with a great big old bag of salad.
Oh, I'll take some. I got a real good dressing I put on that.
Mm-hmm. And that's some spinach.
Spinach looks like spinach.
Yeah, planted back in warmer weather. It doesn't do quite so good. You can see it's not as healthy. Now this batch over here, I planted not long ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the cooler times. It's a cool, loving plant.
Mm. Oh, that's delicious.
Then you over here.
Oh, got onions. The onions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They won't get big, but I can eat them all winter long.
Yeah.
It's just scallion type things.
Right, yeah.
Ate some last night. My daughter made shrimp and grits.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
Nothing wrong with that.
She used a bunch of these onions and some good organic, no nitrite bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. And some good wild-caught shrimp and some grits that I got from this fella out in Arkansas there. They're golden. They're actually orange grits. They really are orange in color, and they're organic and of course non-GMO. That's so good.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's my favorite. I like that particular meal.
Mm-hmm. I love that particular meal. I love grits just ginger.
Yeah. Well, you got that basil over there looking good.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been plucking a bunch of it.
Mm-hmm.
Making pesto and various and sundry things. I put a handful of it in salads when I make them up. And I got another big bed on the other side of the house of mint, and I'll just pick a bunch of mint, throw that in the salad.
Yeah, same family, same family.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, what kind of cabbage is that?
That's the Chinese cabbage.
Chinese cabbage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Michelishi, I think, is an actual term.
Right.
They're growing great. They're very. I've tried growing that particular kind of cabbage in the spring, and it'll come up, and you got about like a day or maybe a week to harvest it, and then it just shoots to seed.
I'll be darned.
But here, in the fall, it won't go to seed, and they'll get huge. I mean, with the outer leaves trimmed off,
right?
They'll be almost a foot wide.
Oh my.
Yeah, best stir-fry vegetable.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, that'd be great in the stir-fry.
And kimchi.
Right, just ferment it.
That's it. Mm-hmm. not hard to do at all. And, you know, with some daikon radish and whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell else you want to put.
Yeah,
in.
I remember Dawn's story down there at New Moon Naturals. She does a great job with some kimchi, all local.
Yeah. You get very creative with it. Get all kind of, put all kind of different stuff in. I just basically like the cabbage and daikon radish.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, some beet shavings. Those are pretty good. But they don't, they're still very, very chewy. The Chinese cabbage is just crunchy and soft. And
I wanted to interrupt here. Dawn's story has Farmstead ferments. And so, just a correction there. Farmstead Ferments, Dawn's story, down in Scottsville. Get down there. Check it out.
Oh, it just makes the very best. Down here is rutabagas.
Oh, okay.
Three different kinds of rutabagas. They're basically considered by most people around here and down through the South as pig food.
Pig food.
But I love them. Uh-huh. They're delicious. They're very sweet. This is the first time I've ever grown them. I don't know how they're doing. They're not really forming up into, you know, big root things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to say, I got three different kinds planted in here.
Hmm.
This is a very different one. And I tried, I said, oh, these greens are great. And I cooked some of the greens up.
Yeah.
Nah,
no.
Not good. No, they don't.
Oh, I'll be darned.
No, they look very much like collards.
They do. They do.
Don't taste any.
Yeah. Huh.
They taste, I don't know. I'll say what they taste like.
I remember the last time we were here, we had some baked turnips. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They were really delicious.
Yeah, those little white gloves.
White, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were very, very nice.
Japanese, right.
I still can't get over this broccoli. Good Lord.
Yeah. And let me show you back over here.
Oh, okay.
This is another kind of broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically broccolini.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that. Yeah.
It makes a bunch of little heads.
Mm-hmm.
And perfect for stir fry. It's really, I like it better than any other kind of broccoli.
Hmm.
But first time I've grown it, so I don't know how. But it's coming on. It hasn't started to form heads yet, but
it's got plenty
of time to do that.
They'll
go to 0 degrees. I mean, they love cold weather.
Oh, wow.
Cold crop plants.
Yeah.
They just absolutely love it. You know, let's see. Well, you see, got some remnants of some tomato plants over there. They still got big old tomatoes.
Yeah, they do.
These particular.
They are delicious.
I've got a ton. We'll come back and I just need to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually four types of tomatoes in this bed here.
Oh, I'll be darned.
But these cherry tomatoes just take over.
Oh yeah, they're delicious.
They're like the yard long beans. I mean, they're prolific. They just smothered out. Although I do have some down here on the bottom. I have some. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
that's a good one. That'd be a great salad tomato right there.
Well, I just cut them in slices and put them on a sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's what I do. I love a tomato sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Indeed.
What kind of bread do you use?
I use it's actually a whole wheat, but it's not wheat. It's gluten free.
Oh yeah, oh cool.
But it's pretty nice, man.
Yeah, I got gluten free bread in there. Gluten doesn't sit well with me.
No.
So I try to avoid it.
Well, wheat is an inflammatory. I try to stay away from wheat.
Yep.
I'm supposed to stay away from dairy, but I'm not giving up my cheese.
No. That's so cruel, unusual punishment.
Don't let my doctor hear you say that, though.
And the carrots, those tops were another 6 or 8 inches tall, very full. That's what the deer did.
Deer did. They ate those carrot tops.
But they were so full that you can barely tell that they got in here and ate these.
Right.
But what I'm going to do is, this is a great wintering over.
Oh, okay.
It's about a 4-foot diameter bed.
Yeah.
And just, you know, very, very rich soil. I'll make a mix of compost and vermiculite and core, coconut core. And then I add some other stuff to it. Dolomite.
Dolomite, yeah.
Yeah, and all kinds of stuff. But I'll just pile straw on top of these and then harvest the carrots. Just pull the straw back and harvest the carrots all winter long.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Yeah, it works good. I did it last year.
Hmm.
But I'm going to give you I've been looking at this.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
That's a fat carrot.
That is a big old fatty, isn't it?
Here's one for you.
Oh, thank you.
I'll come back and get you a few more of these.
No, that's good. I'll slice that up on a salad.
This week, man, steam them, and they're just, they're so sweet, it's just ought to be against the law.
Yeah, ought to be against the law.
These are bread.
I got the
pear.
Yeah, a little pear.
They're actually
tree.
Pretty good. I'm going to try to make some kind of jelly or eat much of it.
Right, so right. It'd
be nice to have a gift or something like that. And I guess that's pretty much about it.
Yeah, that's about it. Nice fall garden. Compost. Got a big old compost pile.
Yeah.
You know, I heard, I was doing some research, I found out that kelp in a compost pile is so good because it breaks down really fast. Mm-hmm. And it's a great source of boron, which, of course, is what your roots need.
Absolutely.
For
minerals in general.
Yeah, just those minerals in general. And it really increases the... uptake
of other nutrients.
Yeah, of other nutrients, mm-hmm. you know, and then of course the cell walls of the on the roots are just so much stronger, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have enough boron, folks, you'll get, especially in the broccoli, you'll get what they call hollow heart, and it's a big hole running right up through the middle. Mm-hmm. And so when you're shopping, if you see broccoli and it's got that hole in the middle, it didn't have enough boron.
And you sit there eating that broccoli feeling like a moron.
Feel like a moron? Not enough boron. Well, thank you, Richard.
Oh, you're very welcome. I love to talk to you about my garden.
That's and I can't wait
garden,
to eat
my grandchildren,
some of
this. My friends, and my family. I mean,
yeah, that's about all.
That's about
that's
my
it.
Life.
Yeah.
That's plenty.
All right.
Richard Collins and his fall garden right here on To Your Health. And, you know, we've been hearing a lot about sources that demand organic food. That's right here on To Your Health. Eating organic food is very important, and it's a healthier choice because there's no chemical fertilizers, pesticides, and herbicides. And now we hear that the toxic administration in Washington might deregulate what's organic and what's not, leaving you, dear listener, and me too, in a wasteland of confusion about what to believe. As the weeks roll by and Twitter storms erupting daily, nobody knows what to expect from our federal government. And quite frankly, reading the news can lead to a stress overload. And we all know that stress can lead to early heart, digestive, and brain problems. Can we all just get along? Well, the answer is yes, we can. It's all community-based agriculture. Just what I was talking about right there, growing a home garden in your community, and what'll happen is you'll get together with other people doing the same thing and share stories, share produce and methods and all that. It gives voice to the people who before now had none. Importantly, provides the healthy food we crave and need for our bodies. And just imagine if we could feed all, or at least most, of the local population with real food and not be dependent on outside political or corporate forces for our nutrition. Are you kidding me? That would be huge. And the reason is because profit-only motivation of corporate food is keeping us sick and driving the true cost of food to unsustainable levels. What I mean by that, folks, is if the subsidies were taken away from the factory food system, the factory farm system, the price of food would go through the roof. You'd go down there to some of these discount stores where you're getting a head of lettuce for, you know, 89 cents, and all of a sudden it's $4.89. You'd be going, man, it's cheaper at the city market. Yeah, no kidding. The true cost of food, very, very important. We've had some shows on that. But imagine life with 70% less copays for doctors because you're healthier, and very few incidents of hours lost due to sick days. A life with more energy and increased production at work, leading to less stress and promotions or pay raises. That's always good. Now, these rewards can be achieved by supporting programs like City Schoolyard Gardens and other programs within the Food Justice Network. And, of course, growing your own, you know, and getting together with other people that are growing their own. Urban Agricultural Collective of Charlottesville, UACC, That is a great program. And that brings urban gardens. And so people work in the gardens and they get free food. But more importantly, they're educated about why it's important to eat this real food. And so I urge you to give your time and or other resources to the many nonprofits of the Food Justice Network. Very important. All you got to do is look it up on the internet, and it's right there. Start your journey to a healthier and rewarding life. Thanks for listening. I'd like to thank Nona and Bob Messler and Richard Collins for their contributions to our show right here in Charlottesville, To Your Health Radio. And remember, eating real food, wearing a smile, and keeping a positive attitude are keys to your health.